My name is Mark, if I haven't said that earlier, and we are in not a series. This is not a series. And so we're taking a bit of time to massage what we actually are about. Build Your Life, Build My Life is not a series we're jumping into, a next 4 to 6 week series that God has spoken to. Build Your Life, Build My Life is the vision for a year. The mission hasn't changed. Reach far, raise up, release wide. That's the mission God's called us to. It doesn't change year on year. And we love to get clever with that stuff, but that's not changing. But sometimes we just took time out to say, God, what is it that you are wanting to do with us at the church? I honestly believe you can give your time, energy, efforts, best giftings, and everything to build the church and not go on a journey of building your life. Well, how do I know that? Well, one of the reasons we are doing this series is out of a pastoral concern in my heart. When I heard a statistic that 85.3% of South Africans in the 2022 census put their hands up and said, we are Christian, which is incredible. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. I'm going, come on. 85.3% of our nation of 60 something million people saying Jesus is King and Lord. That's incredible. And yet, there's some other statistics about our nation that seriously challenge me, like rape, like fraud, like general chaos. And I'm not judging a nation. I've got to judge 85.3% saying Jesus is Lord. And yet it's impossible that the other naughty statistics are fulfilled by only the other 14.7%. I'm no statistician, but I'm telling you, it's impossible. Which means there's a disconnect between those who are saying Jesus is Lord and those who are living that out and seeing the kingdom come rather than chaos come. Some of you are like, oh, he's angry today. I'm not angry. I'm challenged because I desperately love this nation. I desperately love this nation. But I'm telling you, the way that we build a nation is by building our lives on the solid rock. And I think, as I was mentioning earlier, people can give their lives to building churches, but we don't go the journey of building our lives. We can be in 1,000 prayer meetings, but we're never in the presence of God on our own. We're probably not going on a building journey. We can listen to 1,000,000 preachers, but if we don't take that and practice it in our lives, we can miss the story. And there will be a disconnect between the fruit of what stands on the foundations of our lives that have been built versus the statistics. Is that all right? So that's one of the reasons we're doing the series. I just saw that, I heard that, I was moved and going, ah, there's a challenge there. And I don't want to let our story be a part of it. Part of a mandate of a teacher of the word is to teach others. And I want to tell you, if you've received Jesus, you've received the Great Commission, you're a teacher. The Bible says, teach them to obey all that I've commanded. It's not an obligation just for the dude at the front or the lady at the front with the microphone in their hands. So that's the pastoral concern. And if you know the Bible, you read the writings of Paul, behind each of the books of the Bible that Paul wrote and his epistles, there was a concern in his heart for the nation, for the people, for the gospel. On the other side, it's not super uncommon knowledge, for the last 6 months, we have been in a building process. I have dust coming out of every hole in my body from the last 6 months. We are now right at the end. I was joking last weekend, on our way to church, we had to climb out of a window, onto a ladder, onto a roof, onto another roof, down another very tall ladder. And I had to watch my very gracious wife climbing down these ladders. My boys are loving it. They think we should do this every day. Don't change anything. This is the perfect house. Because we couldn't get in. But we've watched a difficult building process of taking an existing house that needed a lot of work, that has stood for 25 years, and going on a journey to build something more, something better, to invest in it. And you know, I've just realized it's harder. I didn't realize that. The suppliers are like, I'm not sure I want to touch a house that needs that work. It's more difficult to build and add to a house that's existing than build a brand new house. And so sometimes when we come to a series like this, most of the work in many of us who've been in church for years, the work's actually difficult. But we've got to go on the journey and commit to the process. Why? Because what we build brings him glory if he is the foundation of that. And so we're on this journey of Build My Life on Jesus, the solid rock, on his word, on his grace, on his goodness. And the question is, what are you building? What are you building? It's an amazing young couple are getting married in 8 days. We're going build on Jesus, the solid rock. Why? Because too many are building Instagram reels. That's all they're doing. Let me come up with my next Instagram. Oh, my wedding. Oh, my first child. My third. And when the challenges come and the storms come, because the Bible says the storms will come, an Instagram reel doesn't stand. It's last year's thing. What will stand is what's placed on Jesus, the solid rock. And you get to build a marriage. You get to build a life. What are you building? Building takes time. And my concern is, and the beautiful thing, if you ever sat with someone who's just given their life to Jesus and this whole new possibility comes alive, often the next step is, how do I take over the world for Jesus? And it's such a tricky one because you're sitting with someone who's got more passion and zeal. They want to feed every hungry person in the whole of the world. Have you ever sat with that person? Have you been walking with it? Like, I'm going, I want to harness that passion, that zeal. I want to. They want to start every program that'll fix every wrong in the world. And I think, yes, here's where the Bible says start. Below ground. In the foundations. On the bricks that no one will ever see. Start there. And I don't want to squash. And I don't want to diminish. I don't want to take down the passion. But here's the thing, build your life on Jesus, because a life built on Jesus will bless the nations. And so we're just taking that journey. We're kind of taking a slow start into it, because I think part of the challenge is, what is building? What does it mean to build? Because Mark, you've just done a series for 5 weeks on the gospel, haven't we? And in that series, some people were really challenged when they heard it's actually all done by Jesus. You can't add to what he's achieved on the cross at all. Now you're saying, Mark, build. Correct. 1,000%. Thanks for coming. But I want to take us to a scripture and explain some of those challenges, because maybe if you did Sunday school like me, you'll remember the songs about building your house. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. Not enough Sunday school people in this group. Could we sing that next week, Jerry? Please, if we could open with that song, with actions and everything. Wonderful. Let's do that. I want to read the scripture again. You might have read it even as we navigate in the series, but let's read it again. This is Jesus. He's been doing the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching his disciples. He's putting some vital challenges to them. And in the midst of that, right at the end, he brings this story and this challenge. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let's just stop there for a second. What's the most challenging part of that statement? I don't think it's the hearing. Hearing is not a problem. It's not a problem. Most people don't struggle to hear, to listen a bit different, but hearing. And then the challenge comes and says, actually, put them into practice. What does that mean? I can go and Mpele, who you know, he's been given a set of golf clubs and he's now going for golf lessons. And I'm watching the progress of the golf lessons and I'm enjoying it. But I remember going to golf lessons and encouraged, just swing like Ernie, you know, you just want to just keep everything fluid and just, you look like you're not even moving. It's just easy. The problem is I do that on the range. I go warm up, like the minute I get in the golf course, my nickname on the golf course in the early days was the Angry Dwarf, because I tried to hit that thing as hard as I could. It didn't matter. It mattered that it went as far as I could hit it. And you threw everything that you'd heard from a guy you'd paid to teach you how to play better out the window. That's the first tee. By the third tee, you're dislocating bones to try to hit that thing as hard as you can. It's the same with us. We struggle to put into practice. Jesus is saying the winning, the moving forward, is when you take what you hear and you put it into practice and you build. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The same thing happened to both. The rains came down, the streams rose up, and the winds blew in the houses. One stood, one crashed. I love the message presentation that says, it's like, if you just use my words in your Bible studies, but don't apply them to your life. You don't take them and you don't work them into your life. You've got to work them into your life. It says, actually, you're just like a stupid carpenter. The message version. I didn't say it. The message said that. So we challenge, and I'm challenged by this, because when I look at the Bible, I see these great kings. I see David, he built his life. You say, Mark, well, Jesus did it sovereignly. Yeah, yes. But David listened to the word. He listened to the Spirit of God. He spent hours in the presence of God. And when the challenges come and King Saul started throwing spears at him, there was something that was already built into his story. Built into his story. By the time he fought Goliath, he'd already built a life. It was a young life. It was a 16-year-old life. It was a teenager life. But he built a life of worship. He'd built a life of trusting God. He'd built a life of trusting God in the battle. So when another Goliath came, not any bigger than a lion. And I'm just presenting this because I think many come to Jesus, the blessed life. And it is. Ephesians tells us that. So what do we do with that? You're just blessed. Ah, blessed, brother. You're blessed. And we run off to prophetic meetings and get 1,000 prophecies, and Christians are running on. They got files in their offices of prophecies they've received over decades. My challenge, my charge is what has been built on the prophecies. What has been built as God has spoken into your story? What have you taken and built? Because the Bible says you've got to work it into your life. So we want to build this year. And so this is going to be a year. The reason we're taking a bit of time to process is because we're going to build and we're going to speak about things that are uncomfortable for many. We're going to speak about healthy relationships and what does that look like? We're going to speak about things like finances because the Bible speaks a whole lot about finances. We're going to speak about other areas of what does it mean when the Bible says, do not be quarrelsome. And I met someone recently from another church. Never, I said, how are you doing? Oh, it's tough. And a relationship's broken down. I said, well, how did it get there? He said, no, well, I had this relationship with this landlord and it got stuck. And then, and I'm going, yeah, so what did you do? No, I took him to small claim court. He said, well, how did you think it was going to end? You're entitled to go to any court or you have the privilege of not being quarrelsome. I hate to say it, but that's where it lands. Some of you are like still looking confused. Don't worry, we're moving forward. This is going to be very simple once we get into it. I want to speak this morning as we navigate because the difference isn't the storms. The difference is the foundations that we built on and the rock that is Jesus. I want to take us this morning just simply to a guy I think most of you know. And if you heard the preach from last week, Gabe and I just sat down. We said we want to massage some of these truths. So we haven't fired Gabe this week. He's preaching at Table View this morning. And he's got the whole redhead Phillips clan. They've even just adopted a ginger cat. I mean, come on. I don't know. When I heard that, I thought, Jesus, take the wheel. I don't know. Anyway, all good. I want to speak about a master builder this morning because, like I said, we're not jumping into the series, but I want to speak about a guy named Noah who built an ark. I truthfully think all of us, when we encounter Jesus, want to build something of an ark. Now, let's not confuse the theology. Jesus is our ark. Jesus is the only reason we can stay afloat. Jesus, his grace and his goodness is the only reason. But I believe we can build lives where others can be saved, where others can encounter the life of Jesus. We can build homes, we can build marriages, and you can build businesses. I look across this room, there are men and women who have businesses. Your business is not just some cash cow for you to get through life so you can have more subscriptions, get more encounters of I don't know, islands of the world. It's an ark where men and women can be saved. In a nation where people are abusing people, come on, Christian business owners, and let's build a kingdom. And I'm telling you, it looks a little bit like an ark, something that is anchored, something that survives the storm, something that can take others who are not quite sure how to navigate the storm through the storm. And so we encounter a guy named Noah. And there's chaos in the world in Genesis 6. It says that people are just, humankind is multiplying. They're just taking wives left, right, and center. The Nephilim are walking the land. Hollywood had a field day with it. And then it continues in Genesis 6 verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was evil at all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. And that's challenging. I don't know about you, but every time I sang a song about Noah in Sunday school, it's quite uplifting and like about the animals. But this is hectic. But then there's this incredible line, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. We see some other incredible men and women in the Bible who found favor. We see the Bible says in Acts 7, referring to David, David found favor with the Lord. And with that favor, you know what he did? He asked, could he build a temple for the presence of God? We see Joseph finds favor in prison. You know what he gets to do? He gets to build a nation. You're starting to get where I'm putting down? That didn't do that. What would that be in Gen Z language? What would laying down. What I'm laying down. Thank you. Helpful. Mary found favor. And this is the account of Noah. As I'm just trying to make a case of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man. So you're wondering why he's found favor? The Bible says in the next verse, he's a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. Let's just take that. He's probably been married for a couple hundred years. I'm celebrating 20 years of marriage. I'm feeling quite good about myself right now. I got sent a photo during worship from someone who's in church in Durban, and the photo was this, of two older folk. The guy on the left is 85 years old, and the lady on the left, on his left, is 78. That's my parents, holding hands, worshiping Jesus. I've got to watch a 55-year-old marriage navigate high highs and low lows, from celebrating wins and buying businesses to watching the sheriff come and take everything from our house. I've got to watch that business, that life walk. But this guy has tested me after, they say around the time of the ark, his wife was probably 600 years old. Talk about the 7-year itch. What about the 700-year itch? But his testimony of his life, which would have included his marriage, is blameless. It's radical, eh? And he walked faithfully with God. He just walked. Didn't ever run, he didn't ever sprint, he wasn't trying to take a... This is just the testimony of a man who'd built a life and he'd built them on these principles. He wanted to live righteous. He wanted to seek God and live a life that in the eyes of God was blameless. And he just walked with God and he was a fruitful man. He had 3 sons. Not saying that's the epitome of fruitfulness, but well done, Scott. I might also have 3 sons, just saying. But again, I'm just presenting to you that we all want to build an ark. And we know Noah because he's famous for building an ark. But before he was famous for building an ark, he'd found favor with God. And he found favor with God because he was blameless. He was seen as righteous. He was fruitful in his sonship. And he was seen as someone who'd built a life in God. So amidst the chaos of his time and the people running around left, right, and center, and we making statements like, it's so hard these days and it's difficult in these environments. And it is. I would present it probably wasn't that more difficult in Noah's time. People having relationships all over the place. Maybe called open marriages, I'm not sure. That's what we call it these days and we make it cool. It's not according to God's ways. And so we've got to come back to this place. And I just want to present a few simple lessons from Noah because it carries on in verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth, so make yourself an ark. And he continues on how to build. 3 simple lessons this morning from a master builder. Number one, a built life is on the foundation that is Jesus, and your foundations are most important. I'm not sure how I put that there. A life in God is the foundation for our building. Before there was an ark, and the temptation as believers, I just want to build an ark, there's a life built. It's not a complicated point. Noah's foundations for building the ark weren't his skill set. The Bible doesn't say he was the most competent carpenter in the world. It doesn't say that. It says he was righteous, seen as righteous, blameless, walked with God. Had 3 children, fruitful. So, and I would just present as we're looking to build anything like all the potential and power that is in every believer, it starts with the simple things. And I know because I've sat and I can, there's a young man named Chris Lanus. Most of you won't remember him, but he used to play electric guitar. He's mates with Josh. He was Is he? He's not your age. Your age? A little bit older. I remember seeing Chris. He was on internship with us and fell in love with Jesus. He had the temptation to go this way and that way, but he found Jesus. And I remember sitting with him and Gabe, and he said, "Guys, thank you so much for this amazing year of internship." He said, but you know what? I want to do something amazing for Jesus. I'm like, okay, cool. What's that? He says, I don't want this white picket fence marriage stuff. I want to just go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. And we just said to him, but it starts with building life. It starts at transforming power. It's been such an amazing year. Then he went to Australia, has met an amazing lady, and is building life. And it, you know what it started with? Marriage. You know why? Because marriage will sort you out and sift you out. And it's like that. They bring all those mountains of sand that they're going to build with, but they have to push it through these sifting things because they've got to get the stuff out. Welcome to the starting point of building the ark. It's called 500 years of marriage. Some of you are like, that's my worst nightmare. Take me, Jesus. It's incredible. But we forget, we kind of move past these things in the Bible sometimes. We go just to the ark. How did he build it? Cypress wood. Good. No, he built it with a marriage. And he built it with a family. You want to change your nation? Build a family. Raise children who have the Spirit of God inside of them. Amidst times where it's challenging, simple preach there. Secondly, and this is challenging, build from blessing. There's so much talk and it's bumper stickers, the blessed life on my Mercedes C-Class, and it's over the fancy things in homes. But I want to tell you what Noah did. God says, I find favor with you, which means my grace is upon you, which means out of the whole earth, my grace upon you. You know what God said to him? So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. And he continues, make yourself an ark. Oh, God could have made an ark in an instant. He could have clicked his fingers and in an instant, there was an ark. Poof. Fancy cabins, lights, filled with food. But God said, my favor is upon you. Here's the journey, build an ark. And most historians and most Bible historians would say the ark took at least 100 years to build. So let's just build that back into 2024 where we throw a hissy fit because our burger's not ready in a minute. 100 years. Some commenters say, okay, cypress wood, awesome. That sounds cool to us. We'll just go down to Builder's Warehouse, order our cypress wood. It'll be there in a day or two. Not so much. Some Bible commentators say he went and planted cypress trees and watched them grow so that he could build the ark. What are you prepared to plant so that you can build the thing that Jesus becomes famous for in our lives? But what are you prepared to plant at the time when no one's watching? All they're doing is ridiculing, building an ark and planting trees. Ha! In a desert where there's been no rain. And there's the challenge because I heard, this is not my line, I heard a guy preach it the other day, but the anointing comes, King David gets anointed. He only gets appointed king over here, but in between, he's got a king throwing spears at him. He's hanging out with hundreds of disillusioned, in debt, in darkness dudes in a cave. And he's going, Noah's here planting cypress trees so he can build an ark. And we're going, God, where are you? No, build from blessing. And we're tempted to go, God, you said I'm blessed, but where is it? No, have you got seeds in your life, time, talents, treasures? Plant them so they grow, so you can build something that'll stand regardless of the storm. Does that make sense? I think we've got that the wrong way around. We'll build because we're blessed, and God will bless us by him doing the building. I got to walk around an amazing business this week who just happens to be led by this man over here in the front, who's just had a third child, who's navigated life, who keeps saying yes to the kingdom of God, but I've got to watch the building happening. It's not fancy. It's not colorful. It's not an Instagram reel. It's just a life trusting God. that was built upon a family who trusted God and parents who trusted God with a legacy of trusting God. And it doesn't mean it's always going to feel like blessing. No, but it'll look like building. And we'll get to look down the line. Does that make sense? And simply, the simple preach as we land this morning, Noah, I'm not even getting into what he built and the ark. I mean, I look at the ark. This is the most challenging part of it for me. So make yourself an ark. I just want you to highlight that yourself. Because don't forget, we've just preached the gospel for 5 weeks and you can't do it yourself. I'm talking in terms of salvation, saving power. But you can put your hands to the plow to build your life by the grace of God. So you circle that yourself, but make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. Make a roof in it, leaving below the roof an opening, 1 cubit high. And he continues, says, there's this middle deck, lower deck, and all these things. Your sons and your wives are come and bring two of every living creature. But the most challenging line to me, and maybe the most challenging line to a world of 2024, is verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going, hey, God, like those giraffes, they are going to have such a stiff neck after 40 days. Like in the, so every drawing you see of the ark, the heads of the giraffes are out the side of the ark. I'm going, that must have been terrible too. Rain all day. They haven't had rain ever in their life, 40 days. Just lightning. Elephants. I mean, do you know what an elephant does once it's eaten? I struggle with my own children's nappies, but an elephant, Noah's going, hey God, could we negotiate a little bit? But what's amazing about this is his essence is one of obedience and not second guessing God, not doubting, not challenging. It just says he does everything God commanded. Now that's not a popular concept in 2024. People don't like being told anything. Ever. Who are you commanding? Well, let me remind you that King and Savior we're worshiping at Easter is also a King of Kings. And when he calls us and he challenges us, the challenge, we don't get to go, God, but that doesn't work for me. In terms of my time, you want me to love who? You want me to keep laying my life down for what? Now, Instagram told me that I've got to build my life towards influencers and give my time to people who can help me climb the ladder. The Bible says, undo all of that and get really, really low and serve. You've just got to decide which king you want to build on. There's a house in Durban I used to love. My dad would tell me all the time, this house they moved with spray and cook. True story, massive house. They had to move it, something like 10 meters. They put massive ball bearings under the house, put it on planks, and they rolled this house 10 meters and put it on a new foundation. But I would have imagined that would have been a mighty process. I don't think that's easy. And I don't think that's what we get to do, the simple little spray and cook transplant. No, it's hard. Noah's heralded in Hebrews 11 says, faith like Noah to please God. Noah's faith pleased God. I just want to remind us that Jesus is still a king. And the reason we preach about the gospel and all that he's achieved and won for us and grace is scandalous and you keep falling, but he keeps pouring his grace and you can't affect anything when our Father looks, but what you build, you have a lot of influence in. And from favor, Noah builds an ark. His whole family gets saved. Their spouses get saved. And nations come from that lineage. But the Bible still has some challenges for us and some commands. Even in the New Testament, yes, there are commands in the New Testament. Because there's some interesting theology. Don't tell me what to do. And the classic line, I'm sitting with people and I'll say, hey, but the Bible says you must forgive. Don't put that on me. Don't put that on me. I bind that word. Oh, well, you can bind it all you want, but it's the Bible. You can bind whatever you think you're binding, but it's rubbish. The Bible says, obey the commands, not my commands. You want to build your life? Here's some commands. Hate what is evil. Eesh. Romans 12 verse 9, it says 1 Peter 2 verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. You know what's a command? It says in Matthew 6, it says, therefore, do not worry. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. It's a command. 2 Timothy 2, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. That's hard, but it's not a suggestion. It's a command. So lessons from a builder. See, you guys do things a little differently, huh? Just give me a little bit of warning there, please. Pastor, I need to stretch first. Can you stand with me this morning? Because today I'm not trying to take us to the end and say we're finished. No, we are committing to a year of building our lives. I'm speaking to the young people who are going to start out. Not an Instagram page. And I don't hate Instagram, I really think. But you're building a marriage. You're building it. It means the bricks of the one house have to come down, the bricks of the other, and you've got to start building something new and fresh. You've got to start below the ground where no one can see. If you want something to stand, it's difficult. You got desires to build a business? Start obeying the commands of God if you want the blessing and continued multiplied blessing of God in your story. It means amidst a time where people are not paying in moral ways, and I mean taking terms from committed 30 days to 150 days because of economic pressure, do everything in your power to honor your word. It's what it looks like. It's not fancy, and it's not at a prayer meeting. It's in a boardroom making decisions. But Jesus gets the glory. And we start to build something that's not of this earth that will sink. We start to build something that'll stand. Again, I want to show you a picture that you can't see it. The privilege of my life. Having parents. You know what this was built on? 5:30 every morning. My mom waking us up and reading the Bible. My dad and I would often fall asleep. I was joking with someone the other day. I said, I was at school. I've told this story before. But my mom prayed. She's a prayer. She's a warrior. She started a thing at our school called the Mothers Who Pray. You know where they chose to pray? Across the road from the school in the park. So she would drive there and I would walk to school on my own. I arrived at school one day and the one mate of mine says, hey, isn't that your mom? My mom's in the park. Shandar, shandar, hey. You know what I did? I denied her. That is not my mother. And I'm offended that you would even suggest it. I just denied her. But I got to watch something that's been built on Christ, the solid rock. And when the storms came, and once everything got taken away from them through a circumstance and a situation, I got to have the privilege of them in our home. For 6-7 months, we had a little baby in the one room crying his head off. In the other room, my parents living with us. It was quite a cozy situation. But every morning, 5:30, we heard the giggles, we heard the prayers, we heard the word. To build your life on Jesus is not fancy. It's messy. Wedding days, people get dressed in white, probably the most inappropriate clothing, because you're entering a process that's going to have building in it. Close your ears. This is, God, there's building. There's building to be done. The Bible says, take on the same attitude as that of Christ. It's losing. You know, the cross was being prepared to lose, to win. None of us want to lose. So we're going to say that declaration one more time this morning. And then I'd love to pray for us. Is that all right? I just feel like, and pray this declaration like the first time we prayed it was nice. The second time was nice. But pray it a little bit like William Wallace declaring it to your future, to your children's futures, to your children's futures. Because we got such a short vision. Jesus doesn't. Can we declare this together? I declare my commitment to building my life upon the teachings of Jesus Christ, to walk in his ways, and to live according to his word. I desire no other than Jesus as my guide, Jesus as my strength, and Jesus as my source of hope. I will seek to embody his love, compassion, and grace in all that I do. I will build my house on the rock of ages that never fails me. I will build my house